Postface. Let's begin the end with a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die, and the choices we make are ultimately our own responsibility.
Well, that's the end of the book, but it certainly isn't the end of the journey. I mean, I think we probably thought 20 years ago that it would be the end of the journey, but it certainly hasn't turned out to be.
I can't believe it's been 20 years, but, you know, time flies, because in the 20 years before the first edition, we were part of the evolution of the computer. We were there. We were there with the primitive technology and watched it grow up, and you watched it go from being this sort of hobbyist curiosity on the edge of mainstream to, you know, more than mainstream, to software just running the world. You know, not even just for businesses, but our personal lives as well. Software is absolutely everywhere. And what does that actually mean for us?
Yeah, it's really funny because I always think back when I was in college, we read The Mythical Man Month by Brooks. It's a really powerful book, but for me, the most powerful part of it was in the introduction. He says, the programmer, like the poet, works only slightly removed from pure thought stuff. He builds his castles in the air, from air, creating by exertion of the imagination. And I always loved that.
That's a favorite quote. That's absolutely one of my favorites as well, because he really nails the idea that we start with a blank page and we can create anything we can imagine. You know, we're not limited like a civil engineer is limited by the nature of the materials and their strength.
The laws of physics.
And the laws of physics and, you know, inconvenient gravity and expansion and contraction and, you know, all these things. We don't have any of that. We're creating our own world out of nothing. And as an interesting side effect now, not only are we creating our own world, but we can change the world around us as well.
Right. I mean, we got amazing things like Twitter, which at the start was kind of like, why would anybody want this? And now it's helping people to plan revolutions. And we have cars now that drive themselves, and even dumb cars will do things like try and stop you skidding if you go around a corner too fast. Your smartphone, I couldn't live without my phone now. I'd forget everything. So, yeah, I mean, software is absolutely everywhere. You're right. And that means that our imagination, I guess, the stuff that we do is everywhere.
Which means we're incredibly privileged when you think about it. We're truly just building the future, which is an amazing, extraordinary amount of power in our hands. And with that power comes extraordinary responsibility.
And then how often do we actually stop and think about that? We're really caught up in the day-to-day, the minutiae of what we do. We never really sit down as developers and discuss the underlying things that we do, the responsibilities that we have and the power that we have. We also don't really talk about that outside the industry. We don't sit down with regular people and discuss the ethics and issues involved in the development that we do.
And that's a much more important point now than it was 20 years ago or even 40 years ago when we started, because up until recently, you think about computers, it would be at least a desktop, a mainframe off somewhere, but embedded devices now, that's where the action is. Right? There's an order of magnitude more computers in embedded devices than what we think of as a computer, laptops, desktops, data centers, racks. But the embedded computers are everywhere. Life critical systems, power plants, cars, medical equipment.
Yeah, and that's a really important point, because your laptop is very unlikely to jump out and kill you. Whereas if you get the software for a car wrong, or even if you get the software for a central heating system wrong, and it turns off the heating in the middle of winter for some poor old lady somewhere, that could result in a death.
And that's pretty sobering, because we are developing for these devices, and that means we've got all this responsibility on our shoulders, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah, and it's not just embedded. I mean, you think about social media. That can create communities, but it can also destroy people. There's a very fine balance there. And how, as developers, do we handle the ethical side of that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of examples of that, because we like the ease of shopping. We like being able to shop online and have it delivered to us overnight. But collecting that kind of big data has a side effect, has a consequence of possibly destroying any vestige of privacy you thought you had in the first place. It's just gone. Banks, credit cards, The very lifeblood of commerce is all based on our software. Loan decisions, interest rates, penalties, all that is our systems. And any of these can be used to eavesdrop and snoop on you, right?
Absolutely. The funny thing is, it's really hard to draw the line between the benefits and the risks, because you don't necessarily know starting out whether the system you're going to produce is going to be used for good or evil. Or even if you believe it's going to be used one way, it can get subverted, or over time the world changes and suddenly, you know, you're out there doing bad things to people.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think we fall into that a bit, because it's really easy, especially when you're first developing a new exciting system. You view this as, wow, this is, I am moving the world forward. This is part of this really cool utopian future that we're building. And as you say, it's like, well, in the wrong hands or with unintended consequences, now you've made a frightening dystopia. And it's that close. It's that close, right?
So what's a poor developer to do? One thing that we've talked about is this idea of a moral compass. The idea that there is a principle you can use to try and guide your decision making. You have to be vigilant as you're going forward. You have to keep an eye on what you're doing. You can't just like go on autopilot as you make decisions. You constantly have to be applying this moral compass to make sure that you're still on course. I think what we're suggesting is that as we are developing systems, as we are agreeing to develop systems, we need to ask ourselves two fundamental questions about every single piece of code we deliver.
Right. We need to ask ourselves, are we doing everything we can to protect the user? And also ask ourselves, would we be happy using this software ourselves or having it used on us? Would we be okay with it? In other words, you should ask, have I done my best to protect the users of this code from harm? Have I made provisions to apply all the security patches to the baby monitor or the toaster or the blender? Have I ensured that however the thermostat fails, the customer will still have some manual control so they won't freeze to death? Am I storing just the data I need and encrypting anything important, anything personal, anything that could be misused? Now, no one's perfect, of course, and we'll all miss things now and then, but if you can't truthfully say that you tried to list out all the consequences and made sure to protect the users from them, then you've got some responsibility when things go bad.
And the book has a tip for that.
Tip 98. First, do no harm.
So first, have I protected the user? And then second, would I use this myself? It's a kind of golden rule thing, you know, the do unto others idea. Would I be happy to use this software? If it shares information, would I be happy to have my information shared? Do I want my movements given to retail outlets? Would I be happy to be driven by this autonomous vehicle? I always remember the story of a software team in England in the 70s whose job was to write auto-hover software for a helicopter. And the acceptance test was the team went up in a helicopter and the pilot pushed the switch and took his hands off the controls. Right. Would you be happy to do that with all the software you write?
Now, of course, a lot of times we're out on the cutting edge and it's not clear at first if what you're doing is inventive, is it innovative, is it creative, or are you starting to skirt the bounds of ethics? If you find yourself involved in that project, you have to realize that you are just as responsible for it as the sponsors, as the founders, as the backers of it. No matter how many degrees of separation you can try and rationalize, oh, they just hired me, I'm just working on this project, one rule still remains true.
Tip 99. Don't enable scumbags.
Imagine the future you want. It's up to you. It's your imagination, your hopes, your concerns that provide the pure thought stuff that builds the next 20 years and beyond. You are building the future, for yourselves and for your descendants. Your duty is to make it a future that we'd all want to inhabit. Recognize when you're doing something against this ideal, and have the courage to say no. Envision the future we could have, and have the courage to create it. Build castles in the air every day. We all have an amazing life. Tip 100. It's your life. Share it, celebrate it, build it, and have fun.